Sing to the Savior a song of praise, come let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways, come let us worship the Lord. Heaven's the way,
Jesus shall reign,
come let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord, come let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary, come let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus has won,
come let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord, come let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord,
worship the Lord. Worship the Lord.
Good morning to you. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church.
Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 57, verses 7 and 9. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I will praise thee, O Lord. Among the people, I will sing unto thee among the nations.
A minute. I just want to tell the congregation that something unexpected happened. One of our missionaries that we support from the year 1984, Fred Lewis, is in serious condition in Omsk, Siberia. At this present moment, he is in Finland, in Helsinki, in a hospital for cancer. There is nothing they can do, and the president of the mission just called, as the Sunday school class were on, and said that the one person, his brother-in-law, Daniel's sister's husband is flying there, and they will try to bring Fred to America to do a new diagnosis and to see what they can do. So let's pray for Carol. She has to fly back to Omsk, Siberia, and close the house, sell the furniture, liquidate everything, and come back to America. Very difficult task. And the president of the European Mission told me 4 weeks ago, he was with Fred in Omsk, and Fred was in perfect health. His wife was sick. So God mysteriously, but he said a wonderful word to me. He said, God is a God of miracles, and we pray for that. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our mighty God, you sent the Lord Jesus to enter our world and save men from sin. We thank you for glad disciples who 2,005 years ago, in a Sunday just like today, they greeted him with praise and spread branches in his pathway to Jerusalem. We thank you that he comes again to enter our lives by faith, and that as his new disciples, we too may shout Hosanna and welcome him, the King of Love, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. It is an honor to have missionaries around the world, O Father, and we pray for your mercy and encouragement in each one of them. We plead for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain, for Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, at a very difficult time in their life, as Fred is seriously ill and is brought back to America soon. Bless Carol, as she alone needs to close all the operations in Omsk, Siberia, and return home to be with her husband. Bless the Athletic Sport Association in San Jose, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, Martha Peretti in Argentina, Daniel Lacey, now flying back from Florida after the race, Giovanni and Daniel in Guatemala, David Rhodes in Papua New Guinea. Father, assist those who are sick. We remember Loretta Forrest, Betty Tarp, Ann Peretto, Fred Lewis, Sophie laying in a hospital in Oregon. Lord, in your purpose, our lives are lived, and by your grace, our hopes are bright. Lord, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done as we together here in our auditorium and there over their waves of KKNC radio and the web page and the internet fellowship together with our extended family. And now once again, we magnify your name because of your provision and care for the ministry of the gospel. Bless those who do not understand. Bless those who are even against us. Touch the heart of those who believe not. Have compassion upon us and deliver us from the evil one. And when the day is over, we are going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In our Savior's blessed name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 663. We will be reading Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 31. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 31. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I judged also as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and mercy are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which dwelleth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of faith that you have made known to us, that the scriptures are your living voice. We thank you for your grace that we are enabled to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose obedience to the law and his righteousness is the only provision for the salvation of sinners such as we. We thank you for such a great gospel that righteousness from you apart from the law comes to us through faith in the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for such a great gospel. Nevertheless, we pray for strength to observe your moral law. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, as he comes to bring the wonderful news from the Scriptures. Bless him and guide him, we pray. Give us understanding that we may fully comprehend and absorb in our hearts the living words you inspired the great apostle to write. We pray for all those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who don't know you, that they may also believe and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. We are right here in front of one of the greatest chapters of the Bible, Romans chapter 3. And just to emphasize the greatness of this chapter, I would like to bring some background from the scripture that this chapter in thee answers some tremendous questions that mankind really face. If you turn your Bible to chapter 1 of Genesis, put one hand in Romans chapter 3, and if you turn your Bible to Romans Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible tells us that mankind was created in the image of God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, and God is the speaker, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over the every creeping things that creeps upon the earth. There is no doubt you don't have to look in a science book to find out about your nature. Mankind was created above the animals in the image of God. But mankind refuses to comply with God's law. And at that particular moment, God's law is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, which I will read for you. The law said this, and the Lord, reading Genesis 2:16, and the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that thou eat of it, you shall surely die. And the event that follows, you know very well, is in Genesis 3, with mankind disobeyed God, and certainly he died. And I don't have to this church to explain the makeup of mankind. Is Genesis 2:7 tell us that mankind has a body, an anatomy, has a spirit of life, and has a soul, which is your identity. And man died spiritually. He no longer had the vision of God. So much that God in Genesis 3 had to look for man who hide himself. He doesn't know how to get to God. And today you have a great Sunday school lesson on John where Jesus says, I am the way. And by the way, these complement that. Now, having that in the background in your mind, mankind is perfect, created in the image of God. God set a test of love. Love is seen in the Bible by obedience. Children obey your parents. It's not just a rule. It's an expression of love. When you obey your parents, you are loving your parents. And then mankind disobeyed God, followed the instructions of an angel who already disobeyed God in heaven, and therefore crystallized the penalty. Man died. And so if you go back now to Romans 3, verse 23, Paul makes a summary of that in that verse. Romans 3, in verse 23. He said, for all have sinned For all have sinned, all have missed the mark. Amartia, to miss the mark, to point to God, trying to reach God and miss the mark. We all have sinned, have failed, and fall short of the glory of God. That's the summary of the chapter. The apostle is saying, that's it. I want to tell you this. We are a failure. We, left to ourselves, are a total failure. We have sinned, period. Now, this chapter 3 is no address to Jewish people per se, or Gentiles per se. The Bible said, for all. Pasda. That's the word imply every one of you. That would be a good translation. For every one of you, and every century, and every time you read this, every one of you, I want you to know that you fall short from God's standard and God's glory. And therefore, you die physically in your anatomy, and then you die in your being spiritually. And so, as a preacher who wants to reach people to see God, my question is, what can be done? I just told all of these negative things so that you wake up to the reality why things happen in the world. And now the question is, what can be done? Who is going to be your trial lawyer? We just have in the TV a show that one of our movie actors was acquitted from killing his wife after 4 years of trials. And he said, in $10 million that I spent on lawyers. Now, I guarantee to you, if you have $100 million, you will not be acquitted before God, even if you have $100 million to put on the table for God. There is no settlement out of court. There is not, I don't have all the evidence. God has the evidence. You have inherited within yourself the seed of death. And that's the evidence that we are sinners. Romans 3 details the genius of God, and that's my topic today. My wife, when she heard me saying, I'm going to put in the bulletin the genius of God, said, is that the title? It is the title. People trying to be genius to reach God, the Muslims, they raise a prophet. That he said he saw God and now he can reach you to God. The Buddha said that by meditation you can reach God. And other things are created, even in the Christendom, whereby you do this and you do the other and you reach God. Everybody trying to be a genius, but you don't have to. There is a genius, and that genius is God, and it's revealed right here in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, God bring mankind to trial. And God provide a trial lawyer, a prosecutor, and a judge. And I want to show it to you. You're going to be in a court today and see how wonderful God develops this. Well, when you go to court, the first person they speak is the prosecutor. And so that's God. God as a prosecutor. Now it's tough. Don't be afraid what I want to read. It's tough. God as a prosecutor. All right? Now, a lot of people said, if you do this good and you do this good, you reach God. Now, listen, they had never seen God as a prosecutor. All right? Okay, here it is. You got your Bible in Romans 3? We go verse by verse. That's my style. We go verse by verse to see what the scripture says. God as a prosecutor. Verse 10. Mankind is guilty. As it is written, there is a non-righteous, that means justified. The word righteous is a German word, which means justified, acquitted. There is no one acquitted. No, not one. Period. I don't know what is your feelings about denominations. You may be a Roman Catholic. You may be a Protestant. You may be a Muslim. You may be a Buddhist. You may be nothing. But nobody is acquitted. That's what the prosecutor said. As it is written, in other words, according to the law, there is none righteous, no one acquitted. Verse 11, mankind is confused. No one is understanding. There is none who understand. There is none who seek after God. Mankind, left to themselves, they have plans and they have ideas, but nobody is saying, God, what do you say? Nobody. They are confused, totally confused. You can sit in television and listen about the debate of this lady who's dying in Florida, and you can listen back and forth, and they have no idea what life comes from. It's just amazing. They are confused. There is none who understand. There is none that will go, there is no congressman that will go to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about life? They create their own life. They create their own laws, but nobody is looking to God for the law. They are confused. Now that's God, the trial lawyer. I'm sorry, I get a little excited. Last Sunday I preached in Spanish, and you have to be excited in the Spanish congregation. So I guess I had the leftovers. Verse 12. Excuse me, but I say it. Mankind is rotten. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Mankind is rotten. Verse 13, mankind is taken by deceitfulness. Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of us is under their lips. It's like a snake. Mankind. Wow. Mankind is controlled by his mouth. Verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Then verse 15. Mankind is quick to do evil. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Quick to do evil. Verse 16. Mankind is destiny for misery. Destruction and misery are in their ways. What are you talking about? Let's make peace with so-and-so. Without God? Let's talk about peace. I don't care. Remember when they were talking in France? They want a round table. No, better an octagonal table. What the table has to do with peace? Nobody wants God. They want forms of this life. Mankind is destined for miseries. Verse 17, mankind fails to differentiate right from evil. Look at verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. Verse 18, mankind is godless. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Pastor MacArthur is talking to Larry King and the president of the Psychological Association of Development of Human Life. I listened to the whole debate. And the pastor is referring to the Bible, to Larry King. And Larry King was very gracious to listen and to said, well, the scripture says, said Larry King, and this other man said, but we, the people of science, do blah, 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 blah. I mean, there is no fear of God. The man is making a quotation from the scripture, and they care less because they have a diploma of doctor. Oh, boy, I tell you, mankind fails to differentiate right from wrong. Mankind is godless. Verse 19, mankind is guilty. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Universal guiltness. Verse 20, mankind is hopeless. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, God as a prosecutor is tough. Is tough. He is not going to pull punches. He tell it like it is. And then verse 20 clearly says, there is no a yuck which is the small letter in the Hebrew alphabet, that you can find in the law of God that will justify you independent of God's work of grace. None. Nothing you can do. Nothing. Zero. Wow. Now you say, well, I'm cooked already. You're standing over there and the prosecutor rests his case. He's all right, I spoke. And he sits. Now comes the trial lawyer, and we're going to see God as a trial lawyer. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. God as a trial lawyer. Verse 23, he accepts the universality of guiltiness. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God accepts that every human being is guilty. He accepts it. Verse 24, he brings to the judge's attention what has been done. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace, he says Jesus, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Mankind can be acquitted. God made a way. Verse 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace. God made a way. You and I can be justified not for what I can do, but for what God has done. He brought grace. You know, grace. Mercy is God withholding what I deserve. Grace is God giving to me whatever I do not deserve. And the Bible said, God made a way. He outpoured grace. And so a trial lawyer is saying mankind can be acquitted. There is a way that can be done. God made a way. He put grace and mankind can be justified. Verse 24 says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Apollotros, redemption, means to pay back. Jesus, not only God put grace, but also Jesus offered himself to pay for the sin that has been committed at the beginning of the world. And so, as a good prosecutor, he said, hold it. It's a good trial lawyer. Hold it, Mr. Prosecutor. There is something that God did. He put grace and merit favor, not the work of man, the work of God. And through the work of God, man can be justified. Remarkable. Verse 25. He offered the evidence. You know, you need to have an evidence. Here it is. Whom God set for as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, his justification, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. In other words, God brings the justification. He said, this man that God offered is the propitiation. Propitiation? What is that? Well, the Bible defines propitiation. They use different words. Put one hand right here and go to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, page 64 in our Bible, chapter 40, verse 20 and 21. You find the word propitiation in a different form. So you get an idea of what God provides. Second book of the Bible, chapter 40, book of Exodus, verse 20, page 64, if you are using the Bible that is in the pew. I'm reading verse 20. He took the testimony and put it into the ark. This is talking about the tabernacle. Inserted the poles through the rings of the ark and put the mercy seat on the top of the ark. Verse 21. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering and partition of the ark of the testimony as the Lord has commanded. Do you see that word covering? That is the word propitiation. Propitiation means to cover up so that you never see it again. And the Old Testament is you cannot see God or you are dead. But in here, said the trial lawyer is saying in verse 25, God set forth as a propitiation. This offer of grace and this offer of the person of Jesus Christ, he is the cover of our sins so that you cannot see it anymore. Now, God used the word again in the New Testament. If you move the Bible to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, page 717, in our Bible in the pew, 717, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, God used again the word propitiation to let us know that this is exactly what God did. There was a picture in the Old Testament. There is a reality in the New Testament. 1 John 2, 2 said, and he himself, talking about Jesus, is the propitiation, here's the word again, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He is the cover up of our sins. He is the one who covered our sins. Jesus used a different word in John 1:29 when he said, John the Baptist used a different word when he saw Jesus. He said, he is the Lamb of God. He don't say who covered the sins of the world. He said who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, nobody can see their sins anymore. Why? Because there is a covering, and that covering you cannot remove. Now, when Lazarus was dead, Jesus asked to remove the covering. It was an earthly covering. But you cannot remove the spiritual covering of Jesus once he's upon you. And so the trial lawyer is saying he accepts the universality of sin, and then he brings to the judge the attention that something has been done. There is a provision from God himself called grace, and that grace carries a name. You remember, you don't have to look, I know, but in John 1:18 said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's saying clearly is saying the Apostle Paul, here is what God has done. He brought grace, and inside the grace, he brought the propitiation. He brought the covering. And when that is done, you, God, cannot see the sin. In verse 25 also, is pointed out that the propitiation is by his blood. By his blood. He offered as an evidence, not only the word propitiation, but the means whereby that sin can be covered, is the blood. Now, why blood? Well, you have to go to the third book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus, page 77. Leviticus 17:11. Then you understand why blood. Leviticus 17 and verse 11, page 77. And look at what the Bible says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Your life is in the blood. All the chemicals of your body is in the blood. And that's your life. And so the prosecutor said that there is a possibility of justifying mankind through the blood, through the life of the one who is given his life for us and can be accepted. Remarkable. The book of Hebrews, if you move your Bible to Hebrews 10:10, page 708, the book of Hebrews pick up the idea of the giving of a life, the giving of the blood, and the Bible tells us that we don't need to look for anybody else because the blood was given once for all. Now, that's different than the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in order to be justified, you need to come to the altar and you sprinkle the blood each time you sin. But not in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the blood is once for all. Look at in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified, separated, through the offering of the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, how many times? Once for all. We no longer need to offer the blood of Christ. We celebrate the blood of Christ. We remember the blood of Christ in his life. But we no longer offer because he did it once. This evidence of salvation was presented to the Father once, and once accepted, doesn't need new evidence. Thank God for God, our trial lawyer. But now we need one more step. The prosecutor spoke on the right. The trial lawyer spoke on the left. Now the judge is on the center. Now he listened to one. It's very tough. We are dead. He listened to the other. We have a possibility. What would the judge say? All right. verse 27 tells me that faith is accepted. What is boasting then? Romans 3, 27. It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. Yes, God said, all right. Here is what the prosecutor said, and that's true. But here is what the trial lawyer is true. But we have to have a bridge between the guilty and the no guilty, and that bridge is faith. No evidence of science. That's peanuts. Faith. Faith is what we needed. Verse 27. Verse 28. Justification by faith is accepted. Look at verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, acquitted, by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. You don't have to give me $10 million if you want to. Go ahead. But you don't have to. You don't have to be justified. You don't have to go around the building 22 times. You don't have to raise a hand, put your head down. You don't have to do anything. It's by faith. Only by faith. Because that's what verse 28 said. The judge said, well, okay, I will make a deal here. The only thing I accept is faith. Verse 28. Verse 29. Universality is applied. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Thank God. Otherwise, you and I will never be sitting here today. See, he was speaking to a mixed audience. And in Rome already we have Jewish people. The diaspora, the expansion of the Jewish people outside Israel was already established. This is the year 50. And already these people have reached Europe. And so when he speaks, he has to be very clear. He has to be very, very clear to whom he is speaking and what he is saying. And so the apostle is very sensitive. And he is saying, is this only for the Jewish people? Because he's talking about the God of Jehovah, the God of Israel. He said, no, the God of the Gentiles, actually the word Gentiles, et non, the word of the nations also. It's for everybody. Universality is applied. Verse 30 and 31, integrity is accomplished. Look at how God said, okay, that fit the law. Look at verse 30 and 31. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised, that is the Jewish people, by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. In other words, the Jewish people were circumcised, and the Gentile people were not. So God will justify both of them by faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we fulfill the law. We establish the law. God is a genius. He provided the sacrifice. He provided the justification. And he applied that to the law and fit together. God said, oh, I made it. So you and I are saved because of God. Because of God. There is a genius in our salvation, and that is God. The genius of God is that he provides what man cannot. Mankind is acquitted from the penalty and rebellion of sin through faith in Christ Jesus. That is why it's not that we are too narrow, that we don't like Mahoma, or we don't like Buddha, or we don't like whatever man call it. There was a Korean guy that he was Christ. I met him in New York. Nothing against Koreans, but I had to be careful for our congregation. But I tell you, he told me, short fellow like that, he told me he wanted an offering in a restaurant. And I said to him, what for? He said, I'm Christ. Well, I'm Christ too. You know, in one sense, we're all God, said the Bible. And I thought he was joking. No, he was serious. He sent his employees over there, and he collected an offering. I said, are you serious you're Christ? Yes. Where do you came from? You look something to me. Look at your eyes. You look foreigner, you know. And my accent said, well, you're a foreigner too. He said, well, but we are not a foreigner of the kingdom of God when we have Christ. See, listen, it's Christ. It's Christ. It's right. It's not the Catholics. It's not the Protestants. It's not the Buddha. It's Christ. It's Christ. Don't narrow down God to your denomination, please. Please, the genius of God is Christ. Now, if I had to wrap up the entire sermon, and send you home in 5 minutes, I could, in Romans 5:1. Look at what Romans 5:1 says. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, page 664. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have an acquittment, been acquitted by God. That's to have peace with God. Through what? Through the Baptist Church. No, through the Roman Catholic Church. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. You have been acquitted. If you ever in your life, at one time in your life, you saw that you were a sinner, rotten, as the prosecutor said, but you saw the beauty of God and you said, I grab that one. And you believe that one. And you say, God, you don't have to repeat the Bible. You don't have to repeat verses of the Bible. You only have to repeat this word, God, have mercy of me, a sinner. That's in Luke chapter 18. And the Bible says in verse 13 that a publican, an accountant, nothing against accountants. We have accountants here in church. An accountant said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Verse 14, Jesus said, that man went home justified. You don't have to repeat. You don't have to sign the paper. You don't have to make a commitment. You don't have to raise one hand, the other hand, raise the legs, nothing. You have to say in your heart, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Give me Jesus Christ. And that's all. Now let me ask you. Have you been acquitted by God? Or you have been acquitted in your mind by your own ideas? Do you wash your conscience away by saying, I'm a man of science, like the man in television with Larry King said, I'm a man of science, and I'm not at this point able to understand what you said. Sure, I was speaking to the television. Sure, you don't understand anything. You don't know the Bible. As a matter of fact, Larry King said, I think you don't know the scripture, he said. I was so happy. I was so happy for that unbeliever Larry King. But at least he was able to discern what this professor, Dr. MacArthur, was saying, a remarkable man of God. Now, I'll tell you something. Salvation is not a game. Don't play games with God. I never forgot the time that we pulled out of home to get to church, and a lady was putting things on the box, on the mailbox. And I said to the young lady, how come it's Sunday you're working? Why aren't you not in church? She said, oh, I went already, punch in and punch out. I was shocked. Years ago, 20 years ago, shocked. People think they come into church, you punch in and out. Well, you're guilty. You maybe punch in and out, you're guilty. The only way not being guilty is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid the price of our sins. If that is done in your heart, then you are no longer guilty. You have been acquitted. Who can do that? Anybody? You heard Paul saying, the Jew or the Gentile? Both of them have to go by faith. Have you done this? I hope that the power of God will touch your heart, that you may believe too. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you, because you are a mighty God. We pray that as we, the people of God, pray for those who believe not, that someone may realize that being justified before God is not a matter of doing things, it's a matter of humbleness in our heart and saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner, and taking Jesus and Jesus alone as a Savior of our soul. Oh God, you did it to me, a sinner. I know you're going to do it to others. And we praise your name for it, in Jesus' name, amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.